and you may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse number 17.
Yes, Lord.
Through verse number 21. What to do when the problem is you?
All right, now.
We live in a society, a world today, where everybody wants to blame someone else. The only reason that I am a criminal is because my daddy left my mama. The only reason I smoke weed is because I want to fit in. The only reason that I steal is because I don't have an education. And so what we end up doing is we blame society, when the truth of the matter, we do what we do because that's what we want to do. It's when I get caught, I have to shift the blame away from me. Because certainly I'm not that stupid. Have you ever done something and you didn't even get caught? It was just brought back to your remembrance what you did, and you said, I must have been out of my mind. It's good, and it's easy when I can blame you, because I can justify my actions because you had something to do with it. The problem comes when I stand in the mirror and I discover that what I did was my choice and the consequences I have to live with. And so when I reach that point that I cannot blame anyone else, I have to try to deal with me. I'm a rough somebody in that I can do crazy by myself. I can do stupid stuff and no one is around. It's just who we are. It is because of our bloodline that we're born in the same bloodline as Adam, that by nature we sin. So you don't have to teach me how to sin. I come programmed to do that. What you have to teach me is how to surrender to God. So what's inside of me is a struggle. Paul says when I want to do good, he says evil is always present. And so sometimes you find yourself sitting in church and you find yourself lifting your hands and you find yourself worshiping God, and then you cut your eye to the person to your left and to your right and you say something that is ungodly.
My God.
Because that's your nature. We want to deal with self this morning. Self this morning. And so when we reach that point that we can't blame anyone else,
yes, sir,
we discover how we need God in our life.
Amen.
The reason that we need God so much in our life is because it is the beast that is within me that I can't seem to beat. If I don't like you, I can walk away from your presence. I cannot deal with you. I cannot answer the phone. But where can I go to escape me? What to do when the problem is you? So when I can't escape myself, I run and I try to find solutions in the pill bottle. But that wears off. I searched and I found the liquor bottle. But that too wears off. I tried weed and that didn't work. I tried in the arms of somebody else's lover. None of that worked. See, within us there's a place that is reserved for God, and you can pour and put whatever you like in it, but until you invite God to come in your life, you'll always be empty. It's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I don't have time to deal with my brother. I don't have time to deal with my sister. I gotta work on self. I gotta get myself together. Paul says, whenever I go to do good, evil is always present. Now, that kind of sounds like a real super scripture, but I begin to analyze that, and I think I found the problem.
All right, now. All right.
I think the problem is, Paul, is that whenever I because you just told me in verse number 18 that there's no good that dwells in me. So whenever I go to do something, I first have to realize I can't do anything good independent of God. I need Him every hour. I need Him every single moment. I need Him. So if I can abide in Him, understanding that He would abide in me, I can get through this thing called life. But the only way that I can get through it is that I have to abide in Him. In other words, I gotta live in Him, live in His Word, eat His Word, think of His Word, and when I begin to do that, He'll exchange, He'll take all of my troubles and say, I'll give you a peace beyond understanding. How do you think you make it every day going through life? Pressure and everything that is on you. But you keep on smiling because you understand that the peace that I have and the joy that I have, if the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away. Yes, I know the bill is past due, but I got the car. I'm not worried about it. They need to be worried about it. I know the house is almost in foreclosure, but I'm not worried about it. Because my God promised to supply all of my needs. Now, in supplying my needs, He may not give it to me when I think I want it. Because if you give me something too soon, I will mess it up. If I got a problem and you give me money, baby, don't expect me to pay the bill. You knew I was going to drink it before you gave it to me. You knew I was going to smoke it before you gave it to me. I've got to get myself together. Just self. When you begin to deal with self, it takes so much of your time. I have no time to judge you. See, just because I see what you're doing, the truth of the matter is, it's nothing in comparison to what God just graced me out of. Because if God would have opened my door back then, you would have wondered whether or not I was saved. So sometimes what God would do is God will grace you and He'll deal with you. He'll take you, put you on the back of the mountain, and nobody can talk to you and nobody can pull you through, and all you can do is just seek His face. And then it's behind the closed door It's behind the closed door that your faith is increased. It's behind the closed door that God deals with you. Then he shoots you forward. And when God shoots you forward, he makes your enemies your footstool. He makes your haters wonder how you got there. Because I thought I stepped on your neck. But when God has a plan for you, regardless of the pain that you go through or the places that you have to go through, when God has a plan for your life, you better believe that you will not leave this earth until it is finished. So why are you worried about what they say? What they threaten to do? You gonna take my job? Don't you know that the check wasn't enough anyway? Huh? Don't you know that? What? Cancer gonna come? Don't you understand if cancer come in and then if God decide to take me from this place, I got a better home to go? What you gonna do to me? What you gonna do to me? Because some of you, you've been through something and they took your car, took your house, and God bless you with bad credit, no down payment, and everything else because he favors you. He says, Paul says, whenever I go to do good. See, you have to remove I from the equation. Because there's no I in humble. So as long as you are in competition, at war with God, God simply stepped back and said, go on, fool. Do you. And when you get tired of doing you, come to Jesus. Just as you are. See, it makes no difference what you're going through in the world. Because God says, my arms are wide open for you. You can come just as you are. And so even though you may be the problem, you can bring the problem and everything about you to Jesus. Because he says, if you cast all your cares upon me, he says, I love you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right,
man. For God so loved the world
that
he gave his only begotten Son. So if God loves you so much that he gave you Jesus Christ, don't you know that no one can stop you? Don't you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God? Why are you worried about what's going on in your life? Surrender it to God. Paul says, whenever I go to do good. Now, that makes you kind of wonder, how can evil me do good?
All right, now.
Wrong question. The question really is, how can you expect for me to stop sinning and stop doing some things that I like?
All right.
Amen.
It's a choice we make. And we can't blame anyone because we like that. And so the reason that we keep doing things is because we like it like that. Just like that. We like it. Just like that. The problem is one day, God is going to snatch open the curtains and everybody's going to see your business. Everybody's going to be there talking about you. You'll find yourself embarrassed. All your friends gone. And the one that you were kicking it with, they gone. And all you have is God. So let me save you the trip this morning. Just come to him now. Here's point number one this morning. Is that we have to understand that we have to crucify self, or self will crucify us. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't destroy me.
That's right.
Me, baby. I can do that very good. And so what the devil does is he give us a platform. And he throws throws something called arrogance in there, and he throws something called an ego in there, and he throws something called pride in there, and he throws something in there called a secret, and he lets you do you. And as we begin to do us, God will allow us to go through the thing for a while. But even in the midst of your sin, God still has purpose for your life. And so God will tolerate it for a season, and then he steps in and he crucifies you. Now, the word crucify has to do with killing something. There are some things in your life you can't play with. You can't lay down with somebody of the opposite sex and say, we just gonna talk? That don't work. Some things, if you play with them, at the end of the day, you're gonna cross the line. Because there's no good in us. So we have to crucify self. We have to let go of what we desire, our will, and say, God, let your will be done. Because in me, I'll mess it up. But in you, I'll find favor. I'll find my blessing. I'll find my healing. I'll find my joy. I'll find my salvation. I'll find my righteousness. In you, I live. And in you, I die. So we have to crucify self. And so to crucify self, we have to let go of everything that we desire. Because as long as you're living, Christ can't live inside of you. And so for Christ to come in, you got to get out of the way. You know, the truth of the matter is we stand in our own way. The blessings that God has, the mercy and the grace that God has, we're standing in the way. Can you imagine a God that loves us so much? He separated heaven for you and say, I'll give you my son, I'll give you my blessings, but you just have to turn from your wicked ways. You have to crucify self. Because there's nothing within us that will make us seek after God.
That's right.
All right.
Nothing.
All right.
It amazes me sometimes when I'm having conversations with people about joining the church and giving Christ their life, and they say, I got some stuff in my life and I got to get it right. And I want to tell them so bad, you can't get it right. If you can get it right, why am I praying to God? Why don't I just pray to you if you have the power to get it right? And this is what I'm saying, is that you don't have the power to get it right. He says, come as you are. And unlike church folk, he won't judge you when you come as you are. Have you ever been around church folk and you came to church looking for salvation and they talked about you? Have you ever been around church folk? You came to church and they had an opinion about everything you did, everything you wore, everybody that you hung out with, and we wonder why the church don't grow. Go under the bridge and watch winos. They share, they buy. Come into the church, find yourself in need, and see if somebody in the church will share with you. No, no, no. We're too holy. We're too sanctified. We're too saved and filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, never. I don't touch that. Oh, praise God. It just kills me to be around sanctified holy folk who are out of touch with reality. You're going through something, and it's all just pray about it. I prayed about it. Find yourself going through something and you need a friend. I don't need your advice. I don't need you to quote a scripture to me. I just need to talk to you. And then you go talk to them. As soon as you leave their presence, they're talking to somebody else. I'm still talking about church folk right now. What to do when you're the problem? See, not individuals, but corporately. We need to take a look at us, self, the church. Because who wants to walk into mess like that? Isn't it something that when you were in the world, you always had a friend? A friend you could always borrow from. A friend will always give you a ride to the club. Always pick you up. And now you join the church and you can't get church folk to stop by and pick you up on the way to church. Not the club. On the way to church. And you've been faithful in the church and you're going through something. And you can't get somebody in the church to give you, not loan, give you, not loan, give you, not loan, give you $5. Then they got to talk about that. I'm still talking about the church right now. See, until we as a church realize that we are the problem, we'll never increase the kingdom of God. See, the world sometimes has a better system than what the church does. See, because even in the world, you may not like someone, but you still can find someone that you can partner with because you're after the same thing. It seems like if I'm in the church and we both are seeking first the kingdom of God, it seems like we ought to be able to get together. It seems like we ought to be on one agenda. It seems like we should be singing from the same book. It seems like we should be showing the same love. I'm talking about the church. But where do you go when the pain is in the church? Where do you go when you can't go to church and come to the altar? You know what she did last night? Did you hear last week she got caught? What about him? I heard he was dating her. I didn't know he was. People don't come to church to find out who shot John and who's sleeping with Jay. I can find that out in the world. I came in here because I'm hurting. I came in here because I need a word. I came in here because I need to be encouraged. I need to be strengthened. I need to know that God is still alive. I need to know that troubles don't last always. I need to know if you came out, I'm coming out of this thing. For the God that I serve, He is faithful. He is true. And He is an all-time God. Have you ever tried God? Isn't He an all-time God? Then give Him some praise this morning. Give Him some praise. If He's an all-time God, praise Him this morning like He's got something for you. You know, out in the world, they say, this song, you heard this song because you haven't always been in the church. And the song says, what have you done for me? See, sometimes I don't know what you've done for me lately, but I know this morning He woke me up. I know this morning He gave me traveling grace. I know this morning He protected me while I was sleeping. I know this morning He watched over the family. I know this morning He put bread on the table. What have you done for me lately? I don't know, but He is my all in all. Crucify self. When we learn to crucify self, we understand that the conflicts that we deal with begin to disappear. See, because the conflict is because I'm in the way, because my will, my desire. And so God is saying, if you allow me to crucify you, He says, everything that is going on inside of you, He says, I'll take that. I'll exchange. I'll give you my peace for your problem.
Thank you.
What to do when you're the problem? You exchange your problems for his peace.
Yes, Lord.
But in order to do that, you must be born again. To be crucified means to dead.
Yes.
To die. No wills, no desires. When I die, I have to be born again.
Amen.
See, the first time Adam messed me up because Adam's blood had sin in it. And so I was born in that bloodline. But God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ, and Jesus stretched forth on an old rugged cross, and the blood that he shed.
Yes.
That's the blood of being born again.
Amen.
It's that this blood, Paul says that there's no good that dwelleth in me. But what you have to understand is that what you see from me, that ain't me. See, to me, bipolar is to be natural and supernatural. You get it? You get it? In the natural, I'll say anything. But supernatural, God humbles me. In the natural, I'll do anything. But supernatural, I mean, when the Spirit of God dwells in me and I dwell in him and together we're in partnership, I want to curse you out. But something about the love of God kind of holds me back. Sorry if you thought that I was going to say, because you've been born again, you don't know the curse words. I ain't going to lie to you like that. I'm sorry if somebody told you when you joined the church, what you used to want and what you used to like, it disappeared. No, baby, I ain't telling you that lie. When you born again, you go to water 15 times. You still like what you like. Well, so why be born again? Because to come out of it, you can't do it. So when you're born again, let me show you how crazy grace is. Grace says, when you are weak, I'm strong. I know you're struggling with that dress just walk by you and you act like in your sanctified mind that you didn't see it. But grace says, I come. Oh, Lord, this is a long conversation. Let's keep this thing real. Let's talk about some real stuff. Some real struggles that all of us are going through. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Still struggling. Still got some stuff I can't shake. But he says my grace is sufficient. And so in the meantime, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to fast. I'm just going to trust him. Because I know he'll work it out. He'll work it out. He will work it out. He is a deliverer. He is an escape goat. He is a bridge over your troubled water. Won't God make a way out of no way in your life? Have you ever tried, God, been stuck in something, and you needed an escape, and all of a sudden, he released you, and you don't need what you used to need? You used to need a cigarette to calm your nerve, and a joint to sit down, but now you don't need what you used to need? Isn't it a blessing not to need what you used to need? Have you ever been tied up in something? See, when you're tied up in something, and God loose you from that thing, loose has a whole different meaning. But if you've never been tied up, because you were so sanctified in your mess, when he loose you, you really don't realize you loose. But I came to talk to some folk that God loose for real, who know you was in a bad situation, and now God has set you free, and you don't mind giving him some praise this morning. Because had not been for the Lord on your side, I never would have bought that house, never would have bought that car. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. Give him some praise this morning. Speak to someone here in closing this morning. And I want to say to you that you've been going through something, you've been blaming everyone else, and now God is turning the mirror to you. God wants you to look face to face at self.
Amen.
And you know what? It's okay if you acknowledge what you said. You don't have to be perfect. You'll never be sinless. None of that. He said, just come as you are. Come on and stand with me this morning. As we open the doors of the church. Are you being blessed today? Are you being blessed today? So listen, watch this. God says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, he says, I'll give you salvation.
All right, now.
That's all you have to do. If you're here this morning and you don't have a church home, and you need God this morning, I want you to take one step of faith and come down. Just one step of faith.
One step.
That's all you got to do. Listen to this. They say between a man's head and his heart is 18 inches.
All right, now.
This morning, I want you to feel God. Don't think about it. Because you know, when you get to thinking, you'll mess up some stuff.
That's right.
So just feel his love this morning. Just feel his anointed presence this morning. And just come to God. With everyone, no church home. Not sure about your salvation. Not sure about your salvation. You need a church home.
Oh, yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord.
With every other.
Yes, Lord.
You need a church home.
Oh, yeah.
You need salvation.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
You need God. Oh, yeah. You need a church family. Yeah. We need you.
Yeah.
It's acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
As long as there's a heaven, there's a hell.
Yes, yes, yes.
Would you come? Let me try to make it simple. You don't go to hell because of what you do. Because if you can do enough not to go to hell, then it wouldn't be a need for grace. You simply go to hell because you reject him. So imagine on judgment day, God saying to Jesus, who is this? And Jesus says, I never knew you. I never knew you. All you have to do is reach out this morning and say, if you're here without a church home, you don't know Christ as your personal salvation. You don't have that salvation in Christ. You come. Now be another. Not sure about your salvation. Now be another.
God bless you. God bless you.